Most often, the clientele roaming the store at this time of night were all perfectly self-encapsulated, as unwilling to meet my eyes as I was to meet theirs, which was exactly how I preferred it. But now, this older man was staring at my face, and his question wasn't posed rudely, so I shook my head and said politely, "I don't think so."
"Lee Wren?" he guessed.
I felt a measure of relief and searched my memory for where I may have met him. He was familiar, wasn't he? A stirring in those pools deep down below. A single blip that wouldn't coalesce. My social engagements had been few and far between for longer than I liked to consider. Mostly, it was just me and Hayden and the office, and that was just fine, thank you. So I surmised that I must have met this man at some work-related function. I felt a moment's guilt at not being able to place him. Although, to be honest, there was nothing in particular to distinguish him. His kind was ubiquitous in Cary. I could even envision his SUV in the parking lot, a Jesus fish on one side of his license plate and a Bush Cheney campaign sticker on the other. "That's me," I answered. "I'm sorry, you are?" I extended my hand. He took hold of it, and his eyes changed. They flared and flashed. He took a deep, tremulous breath and commenced.
"My name is Charles Pritchett. I've never had to use any other name than my own because I've never been ashamed of who I am. Your real name is Nina Mosley, and on November 18th, 1997, your husband, Randall Roberts Mosley, killed my daughter, Cary."
The whole world telescoped. My hand went numb, as did all my other extremities, but I could feel the overt pressure Charles Pritchett was exerting, cracking my knuckles and pinching my fingers together. I tried to pull away, but he was holding on fast, his eyes like strobe lights now. He was shaking all over. I could see that he'd been rehearsing this very moment for a long, long time, and now that it was upon him, he was having some sort of near debilitating reaction. A galvanization that fired his every nerve. In his transport, he seemed capable of levitation. It was obvious that a truly meaningful moment was upon Mr. Pritchett. All I could think was, "You mean my ex-husband?" But I couldn't seem to activate my voice. My throat was locked down against what could only be a horrible scream waiting to surge free if I dared to open my mouth. My teeth ached. I felt sick and panicked, withdrawing at light speed, receding toward a blessed and familiar disconnect. The half-full grocery cart, with its neatly bagged bundles of fruit, green grapes because Hayden hated the purple ones, too seedy, and vacuum-sealed sliced meats and cheeses, the health food bars for me and the sugary cereals for my son, was forgotten. I was still trying to get away from Pritchett, backing up and bumping into the cart, which turned on its wobbly, squeaking wheel and lodged between my butt and the cold glass door of the freezer. Pritchett followed, still gripping my hand, still speaking in steadily rising tones.
"It took me a long time to find you, Nina, and quite a bit of money, too. You look so different than you did the last time I saw you, at the trial. Your hair's a different color, and you've lost a lot of weight. Did you tint your hair so people wouldn't recognize you? I suppose I can understand that, wanting to disassociate yourself from your past. But I don't have that kind of luxury, you see," he said, his summation spat from behind clenched teeth. "I live with my past every single day, in every single moment that my daughter's not here. She's gone. I know what the police said, how it was all your husband, but you were never cleared to my satisfaction. Not by a long shot. That's why I'm here now, Nina. I've come to expose you. I'm going to tear apart this tidy little fiction of a life you've made, and I'm going to show everyone what you are."